Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
So what I'd like to do during this portion of the service is it's important that we read our scripture for today, and also we'll take an opportunity to hear a little bit from some of our newest members in faith about this idea of Pentecost, this idea of the presence of the Spirit. Friends, we'll start reading from our sacred text. This is Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. And the translation I'm reading is the Common English Bible. And I'll read through portions of it, and then we'll have some conversation. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews. Actually, let me pause there. What do you guys think about all that? That sounds like, does that sound wacky to you? If you all look at the cover of your bulletin, you see a mosaic. By the way, I don't know where it is. I tried to find out where this mosaic is. I couldn't find it. But you see this mosaic of people with these little flames on their head. Now, when you guys hear that scripture where it says that these flames of fire alight on people, that's the way it's framed in this translation, what does that look like to you? Anybody, what is that? Like, as you hear those words, what do you imagine?
I kind of pictured like this sounds weird, but I pictured like stick figures, and they're cool. Like they had like flames, like you know how in Hercules the guy with the Hades has like
yes.
the flames on his head. That's kind of what I pictured.
Now his flame is blue, isn't it?
Yeah, but I pictured not blue.
Oh, you, did you picture some particular color or just not blue?
It was like orange in the center, and then it was yellow.
Orange and yellow. Okay, so a little more flamey than blue. Good.
Yeah, not
okay.
Like a
like the traditional, like when we have a bonfire, that kind of flamey and not like natural gas flame. Okay, cool. Any other ideas? No? No? That's okay. Isn't that terrifying? Like imagine, some translations will say there were like 120 people in the room. Whether it's, you know, 12 people or 120, however many people in the room, imagine looking around the room and everybody looks like what Jana just described. Number one, it's a little silly to see people in stick figures. But number two,
I'm sorry.
No. I'm just being fun. But number two, they've got fire on their heads. What? All right, let's do this. Look at these people and imagine that all their heads are on fire.
Wow.
Is it nice? That's good. Okay, good. If you look at these people and it looks like they're all on fire, isn't that terrifying? Don't you want to run and get a fire extinguisher? Or a hose? You want to scream and cry?
I'm going to cry right now.
Oh. All right, stop imagining that then. Good.
A little terrifying.
Okay, good. You're right, though. It's terrifying. Can you imagine being in that room? And all of a sudden, you see, like, I can't imagine that being a comfortable place. But here's my question for you. As you've gone through this confirmation process, has it all been comfortable?
No.
No.
No. Has it? Has it all been easy?
I cried a lot.
You cried a lot. When you think about your entire faith journey, from whenever it is that you imagine your faith journey beginning, or when you consciously feel like you started joining in this faith stuff for yourself, like when you made that choice, from that point to today, has it been an easy journey? Has it been an easy journey, anybody? You don't have to use the mic. You can nod your head or shake your head, whatever.
No.
Hit or miss?
Had
it's had ups and downs, like a roller coaster?
I kind of feel like...
I
You can sing your answer if you want. So it's been sort of, it's ups and downs. Maybe like a coaster, maybe not. Okay.
Well, I mean, I've been like on and off questioning for a very long time. And I think my faith journey kind of started recently. Because like I kind of ridiculed myself for being like, but now I'm like I'm starting to grow. And so now that I kind of have accepted a belief, I'm more willing to grow. So now I feel like I just started growing. So yeah.
If you're willing. Okay, so first of all, you just showed a whole lot of trust in these people, and I appreciate that. Even though I told you to forget that they're here, it's hard to do, and you just showed a great amount of trust, so thank you for that. If you're willing to continue to trust this group, by show of hands, how many of you feel like your faith journey, like you don't have it figured out yet? How many of you feel like you don't have it figured out yet? If you look out at these people, not a single one of them has it figured out yet. Is that true for all of you? Not a single one of them has it figured out yet. And it doesn't matter if you're Frank Glazer, who's been at this church 1,000 years, or close to that, or if you're talking about David McCormick, who just joined last week. It doesn't matter. None of these people have it figured out yet. And I'll tell you what, like I spent 3 years in seminary, and I don't have it figured out yet. Some of you have heard me talk about that great theologian, Steven Tyler, who says life's a journey, not a destination. And the same is true of our faith. Experience the journey. And you guys are already doing that. Like, it's awesome. I should probably, you know, maybe continue with our scripture, you think? All right, good. Well, don't worry. We'll talk some more. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, remember it's this rushing wind sound. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" I'm going to get to the next verse in a minute. Imagine walking into a room and you hear a whole bunch of people speaking different languages. Now, this happens right after they've all been set on fire. Is this a happy kind of situation? Imagine this yourself. Imagine that you're talking to someone who you know doesn't speak English, doesn't understand English, but strangely they're able to understand you. How would that feel for you?
I think that'd scare me more than them being on fire.
That'd scare you more than them being on fire?
I know how to handle someone being on fire.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. So that's perhaps even more terrifying.
Like if you saw someone speaking Spanish and then someone that's speaking Italian just conversing with each other, it'd be like,
well, that's kind of similar.
Yeah. That whole mind-blown thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's how people respond. Everybody who's hearing these disciples speak in different languages. This is the next verse, verse 13. Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." What do you think that means?
They were speaking to each other in gibberish, so of course they understood each other.
They've been drinking. That's how I take it. Peter, who's one of the disciples, when they say, "They're filled with new wine," Peter hears it the same way that you all did. And so Peter says, and I love his reasoning, "Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and said, 'Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you supposed. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning.'"
Well, I mean, that's pretty... I've heard this before.
You've heard this before. Go ahead.
I mean, like, why would you get drunk at 9 a.m.? Like, I mean, that's just dumb.
So you like Peter's reasoning. Good. All right.
I don't know how to respond to
that. I like it. You know, if it were noon, that's one thing, but it's 9 a.m.
It's 9 a.m. Like,
I wish that's how you really learn another
language. D's comment is, "I wish that's really how you got to learn another language."
To set your head on fire.
Spanish class would be so easy.
Are all of you taking a foreign language right now? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice to set yourself? Well, never mind. I'm not going to tell that story. But wouldn't that nice just to immediately be able to?
At that point at the moment.
Yeah. All right. You're ready for that. All right. This. Don't do that. All right. I just want to be on record. Right. We're recording this. Good. Don't do that. That's not the way to learn Spanish. Okay. All right. As long as we're clear about that. Good. I'm going to finish out the scripture and then we're gonna chat a little more. So Peter says, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And he quotes something from the Old Testament. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what's interesting to me about that quote from Joel? He's pretty careful to name some different ages. Like, we've already had some different nationalities and like people who come from different regions, right? So all these different languages, there's this great diversity in sort of country of background. But there's this care in naming sort of generational differences. Now, do you ever feel like, when you talk to any of these folks, whether it's your parents or grandparents, do you ever feel like they speak a foreign language just because they say stuff that doesn't make any sense? Yeah? Now, for those of you who might care for some of these youth, do you ever hear some of them talk and wonder what it is that they're saying because it's clearly a different language? Good. But these are these generational differences that happen. These are important. But do you see how when we are people of faith, we can move past those differences? I like the word transcend. We can move above and beyond those differences. Do you feel like sometimes that there are those particular moments, and I wonder if they might be special for you, if there are those particular moments where you're just on the same page with somebody, maybe somebody who's different from you, different in age or different in background or different in sexual orientation or different in socioeconomic status, any of those ways, do you ever feel like you just have a conversation with somebody and you just totally move through those differences? To me, that's the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one more thing that I want to invite you to talk about, or for us to talk about together. I want you to think for a second about something that you're super excited about, something that moves you, something that excites you, something that when you think about it, it puts a smile on your face, okay? So, good. It works. Now, assuming that those things that you're thinking about aren't like this significant person that you don't want them to know that you're thinking about them, assuming that it's not that, okay? assuming that it's not that, what is it that you do when there's that thing that you're super excited about?
There's a difference between being excited and just kind of.
Okay.
When I think about this special someone, I'm pretty sure half the people in here know who it is. I bubble over. And
okay.
I, like, get all happy, and I'm pretty, like, and, like, I start blushing, and, like, this person makes me very happy, and it's, like, I get excited just thinking about that person.
You talk about him? Yes.
Yeah, a lot. I'm pretty sure that's half the conversations with a lot of my friends.
Okay. Others, something you're super excited about?
Well, Amberlynn and I were discussing our happiness whenever we bring up chow mein.
Chow mein.
And yesterday, I know that when we were at the ocean, I was like, you know what? I just really want some chow mein right now. And Amberlynn went, yes! Like, it made her so happy. She was so excited about chow mein. So.
Cookie dough. You get that way about
it's
cookie dough.
It's the same thing. Chow mein and cookie dough are the same thing.
So, So part of what I'm hearing is that whatever that thing is that, like, really you get super excited about, very often sort of that urge is to talk about it, to be excited about it, to be outwardly excited about it. One way to think about it that ties into our scripture is you're sort of like you're on fire about it.
Whoa.
Is that, I know, mind blown.
Is that, suddenly it all goes
is that fair
together.
To say?
It all works.
Like you're on fire about it? Is that does that fit in with your experience of it? Yeah? Okay, but that doesn't answer the question. Does that fit in?
Yes.
Yeah, you're does that
I'm
is that
fire right now.
Chow Mein lights my head on fire.
Good. So you guys are on fire about Chow Mein.
Yeah.
So you think about this appropriate person and so you're sort of on fire about that. But do we all have that thing that we're sort of on fire about? Yeah? Good. So here's the thing that I invite you to consider. We might have those moments, and I hope they come more frequently for you as you continue on this journey. We might have those moments where we're even on fire about our faith. Those are the moments that we might especially be aware of the Spirit that is in us and around us. Yes.
Okay. When we were in our last confirmation class and we were like staying over, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago. And we had like this moment where we were supposed to like either write or just think about like if we're ready to put this cross in our bag that's like representing like the church. And I was like, ooh. And I was very stressed out because I didn't feel like I was ready to do that. And then I went into the chapel and I'm pretty sure I sat in there for 45 minutes or something. And I just wrote and it started out as like this, like my doubts and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden something happened and I was just like writing about how I can like be part of the church, and I don't know, I kind of just bubbled over and I just started writing and I was crying by the end, and I don't know, I think that's an experience that you were just talking about.
I think so too. The Apostle Paul writes about a still small voice, that sort of voice that urges you to be in the right place and do the right thing, that voice in the back of our heads that sometimes we hear. John Wesley talks about a strange warming of your hearts. Whatever that feeling is, whatever that sense is of your faith, pay attention to it. And remember that you too can be on fire in your faith and share even to the point that people think that maybe you've been drinking. And to be so ridiculous and outward in your faith that you affect the people around you. I said this to you all privately over here, and I say it to you again. I am proud to be your pastor. You all inspire me. And I'm grateful for the journey that you continue to be on. Let's take a moment to pray. Holy and gracious God, we are glad to be in this place to celebrate the season of Pentecost, a time where we might be more aware of the Spirit that dwells in us all. Especially, we lift up these profound and prophetic young women who might inspire us all to be on fire. God, we lift up all these things and any that have been left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.